AOPA Expo succeeds despite the economy. Airbus celebrates some welcome good news. And airport checkpoints get family lanes just in time for the holidays. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, November 11th, 2008. Officials of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association say it wasn't a record, but attendance at last week's AOPA Expo 2008 was impressive given the state of the economy. They credit nice weather, new product announcements, and interest in both the retirement of 18-year AOPA President Phil Boyer and the introduction of his replacement, Craig Fuller, for attendance totaling 9,500. That's well below the record of 12,973 set in 2006 when the event was held in Palm Springs, but officials are still pleased. Vendors told ANN there were fewer expo attendees than in recent years, but the seminars covered by ANN staffers were packed, many of them to standing room only. Boyer made a visible attempt to keep the tributes and accolades surrounding him as low-key as possible, commenting more than once that there was a lot of sucking up going on. Incoming President Craig Fuller appeared on Saturday, thanked Boyer for his years of service to AOPA, and called his new job the fulfillment of a dream, quote, a blessing beyond anything I could have imagined, unquote. Fuller takes office on January 1st. Continuing its tradition of bi-coastal alternation, AOPA Expo 2009 will take place November 5th through the 7th in Tampa, Florida. Airbus, which has said that more than a quarter of its order backlog is at risk in the recession, is celebrating a firm order from Grupo Marsans. The largest tourism and transport group in Spain is ordering 4 A380s, 10 A350-900s, 5 A330-200s, and 42 A320 family aircraft. That's in addition to 12 A330s already on order, and it brings Grupo Marsans' total orders with Airbus to 73 aircraft. Gonzalo Pascual, president of Grupo Marsans, noted, quote, in addition to the overall fleet enhancement this represents, we are particularly proud that we will become the first A380 customer and operator in Spain and Latin America, unquote. Airbus sales chief John Leahy called the order a vote of confidence, quote, it will allow Grupo Marsans to benefit from the operational commonality of the Airbus product range in the best way possible. With this purchase, Grupo Marsans, who controls various airlines in Europe and Latin America, will have the most efficient and modern aircraft fleet available to further strengthen and develop their operations both within Spain and internationally, unquote. Frequent flyers are well-schooled in the TSA screening drill at airports in the U.S., but during the holiday season, airports are suddenly flooded with family vacationers who are unfamiliar with the routine. In an expansion of a successful experiment started earlier this year by a handful of airports, the Transportation Security Administration will open family lanes at airports nationwide by Thanksgiving, allowing families to move at their own pace, helped in some locations by assistants on hand to explain the screening process. USA Today reports the new lanes will open at 533 TSA checkpoints at large and mid-sized airports by November 20th in time for the Thanksgiving holiday. But this is no seasonal program. TSA plans to make the family lanes permanent. TSA spokeswoman Ellen Howe says checkpoints at the 45 largest airports will have special scanners to screen large bottles of medically necessary liquids, including contact lens solution and infant formula. Despite the fact that the family lanes end up moving more slowly than lines of expert travelers, the agency has found many families prefer not feeling rushed. Some airports have expressed concerns that the special lanes will waste capacity that could be used to handle business travelers during periods when few families are traveling. But airport design consultant Gloria Bender told the paper TSA will have to monitor checkpoints so empty family lanes can be used by other passengers. The National Transportation Safety Board, which announced a few days ago that the safety of air ambulance operations is a major priority for fiscal 2009, now says it will hold a public hearing on EMS safety beginning February 3rd at the NTSB's Boardroom and Conference Center in Washington, D.C. NTSB stresses that helicopter EMS operations provide an important service, but the pressure to safely and quickly conduct these operations in inclement weather or unfamiliar environments has the potential to make helicopter EMS risky. Board member Robert Sumwalt will chair the hearing, which he hopes, quote, can provide an opportunity to learn more about the industry so that possibly we can make further recommendations that can prevent these accidents and save lives, unquote. Witnesses have been invited from all EMS communities, including pilots, medical personnel, managers, and the FAA. Up next on ANN, airline fuel surcharges morph into fare increases. USA Today calls for an end to a la carte fees, and the airlines defend higher fares. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 11th. I'm Paul Plagg. In explaining to consumers why all the new a la carte fees were required, airlines pointed to market resistance to the higher fares that would be necessary to cover their increased costs for fuel. Now that fuel costs have fallen again, a curious thing is happening to fuel surcharges. Airlines in the U.S. last week eliminated or significantly reduced fuel surcharges on many domestic routes, but increased their base fares by a comparable amount. An analysis by FareCompare.com for USA Today shows many travelers are paying the same as before the change. American Airlines was among the first to eliminate fuel surcharges on most domestic flights. As an example, a round-trip flight on American from Dallas-Fort Worth to Washington, D.C., booked 14 days in advance, had a base fare of $680 plus a $170 fuel surcharge for a total of $850. Well, as of November 6th, the surcharge has been removed, but the base fare has jumped to, you guessed it, $850 with no added surcharge. Rick Shawnee, CEO of FareCompare.com, says the change will provide a bit more transparency in prices and adds what may be obvious, that the fuel surcharges were not so much about fuel, but, quote, had everything to do with competition and the need to raise ticket prices, unquote. U.S. Airways spokeswoman Valerie Wunder appears to concur. She advises consumers that what really matters is the overall cost of a flight, not whether part of it is called a surcharge. Quote, we still need to be able to charge enough for our product to be profitable, and we aren't there yet, unquote. In a separate op-ed piece, USA Today takes the airline industry to task for adding the confusing fees when fuel prices were rising, then failing to share the falling fuel costs with customers. A nationwide survey by AAA finds regular unleaded auto fuel averaging $2.30 per gallon this week. Jet fuel has followed suit at $2.16. That's down 45% from its peak in July. USA Today says that fees for a traveler's first check bag should be dropped in response, but notes that Delta just announced it will become the sixth major carrier to add them, effective December 5th. The paper states, quote, we're sympathetic to the industry's financial plight after a year of soaring fuel costs, which have created steep losses, and customers' obsession with finding the lowest base fares on the internet makes it hard for carriers to cover costs on competitive routes. But it looks as though some airlines have become addicted to the money the surcharges and add-ons bring in, and they're not about to let go. If airlines expect customers to put up with surcharges and pesky add-on fees blamed on high fuel costs, both should bear a strong relationship to fuel prices. That's no longer the case. Passengers deserve an explanation, or better yet, a break, unquote. In his reply to the USA Today editorial, also published in the paper, James May, president and CEO of the Air Transport Association, counters that airlines, quote, have not come close to earning back what they lost, and their fares have not been able to keep up with the overall rate of inflation. Unfortunately, U.S. airlines have been profitable only in 2 years since 2002. Even if prices stabilize and the industry is marginally profitable in 2009, it will take much more than a year or two of profitability to recover from prolonged losses and to restore badly needed financial stability, unquote. As for the a la carte fees, which have become the industry norm in the past year, may echo the findings of Robert Buckman, Director of Airline Distribution Strategy for Amadeus IT Group. Buckman told ANN last month that while the media has decried the separation of optional service into a la carte fees, consumers find it advantageous. May agrees, saying customers have shared with the airlines that many prefer a menu of services they can pay for separately in return for lower fares. May adds that airline tickets sold months in advance must allow for unpredictable costs and permit the airlines to make necessary future investments. Quote, "Ultimately, it is competition in this marketplace that will best determine how airlines price their products," unquote. Former Beechcraft president Randy Groom is announcing the formation of his own consulting company to bring a collaborative brand of leadership to other aviation organizations. The 55-year-old Groom served as president of Beechcraft and president of global customer support for Hawker Beechcraft until 2007. Earlier, he was a senior VP and part owner of Piedmont Hawthorne Aviation, a large FPO network. Areas of practice for Groom Aviation focus on improving business strategy, sales, distribution, marketing, product development, customer support, A&D due diligence, interim management, and board leadership. Prospective clients for the company include established and startup airframe OEMs, suppliers, FBOs, aftermarket companies, and private equity firms seeking general aviation acquisitions. Still ahead, Lockheed really wants to sell F-35s to Israel. Cessna brings scenario-based training to sport pilots. And three good reasons to pack lighter when you fly. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, November 11th. I'm Paul Platt. While the rest of the world struggles with a dip in the economy, spending in the defense segment of aviation and aerospace remains very robust. Lockheed Martin says it's weathering the economic crisis well and is reaching out to Israel to buy its F-35 Joint Strike Fighter to keep its outlook bright. Reuters reports Israel has not partnered on the plane's development, but is eligible to buy it when production starts early in the next decade. So far, Israel has expressed satisfaction with its F-16s, and has even talked of buying more of them when the last four of 102 being produced under its current contract are delivered in January. During a sales trip to Israel on Sunday, Lockheed executives were reportedly told that part of Israel's resistance to the F-35 stems from limited involvement in the plane's production by Israeli companies. Lockheed Chief Executive Robert Stevens says he put that back on the Israelis, telling reporters, quote, "The earlier one can participate in a program, the greater amount of participation," unquote. Like Lockheed, Israel's economy seems to be weathering the current economic downturn well. Asked whether Israel's large remaining defense budget was one reason for Lockheed's level of attention to the country, Lockheed Senior VP Robert Trice responded, quote, "Yes," unquote. U.S. officials predict Israel could sign on the dotted line early next year for F-35s at about $40 million per plane. The bulk of the money to pay for them would come from defense grants from U.S. taxpayers. Cessna says it's continuing development of its new web-based pilot training curriculum. The program will guide customers through learning to fly and their sport pilot certification, featuring the Cessna 162 Skycatcher, equipped with the exclusive Garmin G300 flight display. The sport pilot program is on track to launch when the first Cessna Skycatcher is delivered in the second half of next year. The curriculum will also allow users the opportunity to move past sport pilot with a Cessna 172S Skyhawk, equipped with a Garmin G1000 integrated flight system. King Schools is collaborating on course development. The curriculum includes newer technology, including an electronic logbook and web-based course management system. Cessna VP of Marketing Tom Aniello notes, quote, "We're excited about how the new flight training program is shaping up. One of the key improvements is the use of scenario-based learning versus maneuver-based learning. We know students who learn to fly at one of our CPCs using Cessna's curriculum accomplish their ratings in 28% fewer hours compared to other training programs," unquote. The worldwide Cessna Pilot Center network includes 284 domestic and 17 international affiliates and will be the exclusive source for the new curriculum. Since 2000, CPCs have delivered private and instrument pilot training to more than 100,000 pilots around the world. Britain's dominant union, Unite, brought in the two strongest men in the UK yesterday to publicize a goal of cutting the weight of checked bags on airliners. The campaign, called Lighten Up, kicked off yesterday with appearances by Rob Frampton at Heathrow and Lawrence Chalet at Manchester Airport. Both were taking part in a challenge in which passengers had to guess the weight of their own checked bags. So why does a union care how heavy your bags are? Well, a couple of reasons. First, the union notes baggage handlers are statistically 5 times more likely to suffer muscular skeletal injury than any other worker in the UK. Second, Unite says lighter bags help the environment because lighter planes mean less fuel and lower CO2 emissions. And finally, the union says packing carelessly can cost you. If a family of four travels and each member carries a bag that exceeds the new UK standard of 23 kilograms, that's about 45 pounds, that family will pay total surcharges ranging from nothing on British Airways to almost $1,500 on Ryanair. Unite National Officer Steve Turner notes, quote, "Last-minute charges levied at the departure gate for excess baggage can hit cash-conscious holidaymakers hard. The way airlines charge for luggage is bewildering and varies enormously from carrier to carrier," unquote. And finally, we didn't want to let today pass without noting that here in the U.S., it's Veterans Day. In an era when the exact anniversaries of many important events have been blurred to create Monday holidays, 3-day weekends, and excuses for one more 3-day used car blowout, Veterans Day is still on the 11th, regardless of the day of the week. On the 11th minute of the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, the guns of the first major war of the modern era fell silent. For a while, it was called the War to End All Wars. In the cemetery where my dad is buried, his grave carries a marker which says, "World War II Veteran." The markers of a generation earlier simply say, of course, "World War Veteran." It must have been too much to imagine there would ever be another one. In the U.S., Armistice Day became Veterans Day in 1953. It's different from Memorial Day in that today we pay tribute to veterans who still live among us. In aviation, we're surrounded by those veterans. Find time today to say thank you to at least one of them. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Alexander Kaufman, International Sales Director for Cirrus Chile and the director of a major FBO in Santiago. We'll discuss the market in Latin America for general aviation in general and very light jets in particular. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.